Father, those words we just sang, you are more than enough, that you are sufficient. Father, forgive us when so many times, so many days, so many moments, Lord, we fail to live that out. We fail to trust you. Lord, we come to you right now, ready to hear from you, from your most holy word, declaring that your word, Lord, is sufficient for our life. And we come asking that you would bless our time together, that you would equip us. Father, you would sharpen us. You would reveal our sin, that we may be faithful to turn from our sin. Lord, you would rebuke us if we need to be rebuked. You would do your perfect will through the reading and preaching of your word this morning. Father, we don't just selfishly pray for us, Lord. We pray for Desert Ridge Baptist Church in Utah, that you would encourage and equip your saints there. We thank you for that church. We thank you for Pastor Michael. Father, we also come before you and pray for Glendale Baptist Church in Oregon, Lord, as they prepare to receive their new pastor, Mike. Lord, we ask that you would encourage their hearts this morning. May they be ready for the preaching of your word this morning, as well as for the weeks, and Lord, by your grace, years to come. Thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to gather together. Do a great work this morning that can only be explained by you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. If you will, grab your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 as we continue to walk through this wonderful letter verse by verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you're using a Pew Bible, that's on page 996, page 996. And I will be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 12 for context. And if you would, please join in standing with me for the honor and blessing of reading God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. May the Lord bless our time through the reading of his word. Please be seated. So as we know, just as way as a reminder, Paul is writing to his brother in Christ, Timothy, instructing him not to forget what he has seen modeled before him, that indeed all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. Paul was not exempt from persecution. Timothy was not exempt. And as children of God today, let us not forget that we are not exempt either. Paul was spurring on his son, the faith, to expect suffering and to be ready for whatever comes, because evil people will become worse. And the answer to enduring, the answer for us to continue today, the answer for us doing our best as a worker approved, it is the word of God. God's word is sufficient. Divine revelation, special revelation, the breathed out words of our Lord, the sacred writings, this is our answer. So many today are foolishly abandoning the word of the Lord, the foundation, for a trend, for the popular fad, or the shifting sand. The word of God is being left in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the enticements of sinful men. Our verses today are not popular, but it is the word of the Lord. These words have been entrusted to us, and we are to love them and cherish them. This morning's passage is extremely simple. This morning's passage is about Scripture and salvation. Scripture and inspiration, Scripture and sufficiency, Scripture and sanctification, and Scripture and good works. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, it says, "But as for you, continue." Mike preached on this last week. "Continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So Scripture and salvation. Timothy, he was a blessed man. He had a mother and a grandmother who taught him from infancy the sacred writings, the Old Testament Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." Timothy was brought up in a home in which he knew one of the parents was saved, his mother. Many can identify with this. And Timothy's mother, Eunice, and grandmother Lois instructed Timothy in the Old Testament Scriptures. Furthermore, Paul discipled young Timothy. This is why Timothy was able to instruct the Ephesian church. Timothy had a foundation of being taught the Word of God, and he was blessed to have a man come alongside him and pour into him. The man being Paul the Apostle, the chosen instrument to the Gentiles. And Paul loved him as his own son, teaching him truth, and Timothy loved his father Paul as well. Now, many of us grew up in homes with one parent or both parents who professed to be saved. We had parents who were faithful to take us to church and to learn, and hopefully we have stopped and given a prayer of thanks to the Lord for those parents. But many of us never discussed or were taught the Bible in our own homes. Prayer was scarce even at mealtimes. Teaching the Word of God, this is a grace that we have been given as His children. This is a grace that is sadly neglected among many families. Parents are to teach their children from infancy, just as Timothy was. Because the Word of God makes one wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I have yet to meet a parent in the church who does not care about the soul of their child. But words are not enough. A life must model that they care for that soul. In Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." In John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Christ is speaking about his words. In James 1, verse 18, it says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures." In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? How will they hear? How will they believe in him whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." The parents are to be the feet who preach the word to their children. It begins at home. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, we find the Shema. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today, they shall be upon your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." See, as parents, the word of the Lord is to be on our hearts. And the word is to be passed on from our hearts to the hearts of our children. We teach and talk about as we live life with our family. Many families just don't live life together. In many ways, I've been reminded over the past week, we may have our separate rooms and people may have their separate phones, but we must put all those things aside and we must spend time together as a family. We teach and we talk about the Word of God with our family. We are to keep truth ever before our own eyes, transforming our own minds for the glory of God and for those souls that have been entrusted to us. What we dwell upon in our minds will be what we live for. It will be our work. This verse is extremely clear that the Old Testament writings of sacred scripture gives wisdom that leads to salvation. In Luke chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, it says, "And behold, a lawyer stood and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?'" Jesus was asked about eternal life, and what did he do? He pointed to the Old Testament law. In Romans 7, verse 7, "Yet if it had not been for the law," Paul said, "I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" The Old Testament scripture points to Jesus Christ. We learn that we have broken the law of God and that we stand in great need of a Savior. In John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, it says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." See, the sacred scriptures are so powerful that they show us we are lost and they make us wise for salvation. And when the sacred truth of God's word is combined with the calling of God, the drawing of the Spirit, the turning from sin and trusting in Christ for salvation, a soul will be saved. One must know the truth in the word and believe the truth by trusting in Christ alone for salvation. In the John 5, 39 and 40 verses, what Jesus was pointing to, he was saying, "You do not have salvation in the writings themselves. You have salvation in me, but you refuse to come to me." In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." See, we're all called to scatter seed, the word of God, but especially parents, whom the Lord has gifted with other souls to shepherd. Souls you live with in the same home, whom you have the greatest amount of time to be with. You have time in the morning that people don't get. You have time before bed that others do not get. Time at meals, in the car, at the store, as you're living life and whatever you're doing. John MacArthur said, "The heart of soul of effective evangelism, therefore, is the faithful preaching, the faithful teaching, and the faithful witnessing of the truth as it is revealed in Scripture." So effective evangelism for anyone who is married or for any parent begins in your own home. Praise God that Timothy had this. Last week in missional groups, we learned about the Holy Scriptures in the London Baptist Confession of 1689. In Article 1.1, it says, "The Holy Scriptures are the only sufficient, certain, and infallible rule for saving knowledge, faith, and obedience." So Scripture makes one wise for salvation, meaning that redemptive revelation is necessary for salvation. So men and women and children have been saved without the Scriptures, but not one without redemptive revelation, the conveying of God's Word. Scripture is the power that makes one wise for salvation. So a question we must ask, is your present life concerned with the souls of others? Or better yet, are you concerned about your own soul? Are you concerned with your own salvation? Are you concerned with the salvation of others? Are you burdened for the salvation of your family? Are you working to reach your family? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God." So Scripture and inspiration. Scripture and inspiration. All Scripture is inspired by God. All of it. Why is it most churches? Why is it most of us in this room, we don't like to read all of it? It's all inspired. It's all what we need. This is the nature of Scripture. God breathed. You cannot define it any better. It's God breathed. The Bible is revelation conveyed from God, and the inspiration is the means of that conveyance. So conclusion, what we have in our hands, what is in the pew pocket in front of you, it is the God's Word, His holy Word. We can trust it. It is breathed out by Him, His inerrant Word. John Calvin said, "This is a principle which distinguishes our religion from all others, that we know that God has spoken to us, and we are fully convinced that the prophets did not speak at their own suggestion, by that being organs of the Holy Spirit. They only uttered what they had been commissioned from heaven to declare." Scripture is about the Lord, who He is, what He has done, how He has worked throughout history, who we are, our wretched, sinful state, and our great need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. We find our purpose in Scripture, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The Holy Scripture is authoritative. The very breathed out words of our Holy Creator God have authority over our entire life. And all of us have rebelled against that authority this past week. But it has divine authority over our lives. We are to live according to the words of the One who created us and redeemed us. In Article 1.4 of the Confession, Holy Scripture demands belief, yet its authority does not depend on the testimony of any person or church, but entirely on God, its author, who is truth itself. Therefore, it is to be received because it is the Word of God. So the divine authority of the Bible means its absolute authority, its verbal plenary inspiration. Verbal plenary inspiration is a teaching that the words of the Bible, all the words of the Bible, are the products of direct supernatural influence of the Spirit on men who were His organs and instruments, is completely inerrant, all without error. So human writers' own personalities and freedom were fully operational during this, and the Bible can be the product of human writing and acting freely, while at the same time it is divinely inspired and inerrant. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, it says, "And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So we have God's Word. In addition, we know that the Bible has been preserved by God for us. There is nothing missing from God's Holy Word. In Matthew 5, 17 through 18, it says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth will pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." In Luke 16, 17, it reads, "But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void." In Matthew chapter 24, verse 25, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." So because the Bible is breathed out by God, because the Bible is without error, because the Bible has authority over our lives, the Bible is sufficient. The Bible is sufficient. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." Take notice of the word profitable. This word carries the idea of being beneficial, productive, helpful, useful, sufficient. All Scripture is profitable. Do you believe this? Do you believe that all Scripture is profitable? Does your life prove that you believe that all Scripture is profitable? That's a tougher question. We struggle with that. How many of us, when we go through trials and struggles, how many of us, when we feel like we've been slain, as Shane and Shane were singing, where is our first avenue that we go? Is it the Lord? Is it to get on our knees? Is it to pray? Is it to seek the Word of God and what He has told us? Because it is profitable for everything in our lives. The church has not been commissioned to not handle the Word of God as if it is unprofitable. It is profitable. The Scriptures are profitable for our present life. They are sufficient. Now, what do I mean when I say that the Bible is sufficient? Sufficient for what? On Article 1.6 of 1689, it says, "The whole revelation of God concerning all things essential for His own glory, human salvation, life, and faith is neither explicitly set down or implicitly contained in the Holy Scriptures. Nothing is ever to be added, whether by a new revelation of the Spirit or by human traditions. Nevertheless, we acknowledge that the inward enlightenment of the Spirit of God is necessary for the saving understanding of the things revealed in the Word. So all things essential for His glory, for His own glory, for human salvation, for faith and life. So as God's children who have been purchased by the blood of Christ and have received the Holy Spirit, the Bible is sufficient for our walk as His child. Is that not good? No one says amen, so I don't know what that means from y'all. Look with me at Psalm 19. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 1. The Bible is sufficient for us as His children. Throughout years in history, we have seen individuals, we have seen churches. It has been the battle for the authority of God's Word. It has been the battle for inerrancy, the infallibility of the Word of God. And today, we're seeing a major division, a major fight for the sufficiency of God's Word. As if God needs the thoughts of men over His own words. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. The voice goes out through the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So His precious and great promises, where are they found? In the Word. Even in God's Word, we know what the early church did in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. John MacArthur said, Scripture is therefore the perfect and only standard of spiritual truth, revealing infallibly all that we must believe in order to be saved, and all that we must do in order to glorify God. That no more and no less is what sola scriptura means. The Word of God is sufficient. Are we living as if it is? Do you turn to the words of the Lord to revive your soul? Where do you go for rest and help? It is to be the Lord. Scripture is sufficient. We must go to the Lord. In verse 16 of our main text, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So Scripture and sanctification. Scripture and sanctification. All Scripture is profitable for teaching and instruction. So we teach the Old Testament. I know many have decided not to, but we teach the Old Testament. In fact, I can make the argument from Scripture that if you do not understand the Old Testament, you will not understand the New Testament. We teach the Old Testament. We teach the words of Jesus Christ. We teach the words of the apostles. These words are all breathed out by God and preserved for us. All Scripture is profitable for reproof. we rebuke others who have the wrong behavior or wrong doctrine with the word of the Lord. The word of God has this power to rebuke. It is sufficient for reproof. The authoritative word of the Lord sanctifies us and it sanctifies others. If you don't believe me on this, just spend a long time studying Scripture yourself. Because as you do, and as you continue to do that, you're going to find more errors in your own theology. And what has reproofed you is the Word of God itself. All Scripture is profitable for correction. For those who accept the reproof, this is referring to restoration. The fact that Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It not only reproves us, but it corrects us and it shows us the way to go. All Scripture is profitable for training in righteousness. Scripture builds up. It equips the saints. It trains children. Scripture informs us of what truth is, what we are to believe, why we are to believe what we are to believe, what we are to be doing, how we are to act, how it is we glorify God, what commands to keep from our Lord. It is the words of our great God that we are to live by. This is life. His words conform us into what is a pleasing life lived before the face of God. See, sanctification is a work of God through the Word of God by the Spirit of God. Sanctification is a work of God through the Word of God by the Spirit of God. Many people, they want the work of God by the Spirit of God, but they don't want to do the work to know the Word of God. We must do the work. Men and women are sanctified by reading books that point us to the Word of God. And I would say most of the most beneficial books that you can read are those that point directly to Scripture. We are sanctified by being together as the body of Christ, even this morning, worshiping together, praying together, singing songs to the Lord together, hearing the Word of God exegeted together. See, the common thread is the Word of the Lord. Scripture saves, Scripture is inspired, Scripture is sufficient, and Scripture sanctifies. Now, many people, they have verse 16 memorized, but they forget to march forward to look at verse 17. Why is this all here? Scripture and good works. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. For every good work. Scripture in the lives of men and women who are born again makes them competent, makes them complete, makes them blameless, adequate, capable for every good work. Scripture is sufficient to make us equipped for everything that we are to do to glorify the Lord. Verse 17 must not be cut off from verse 16. Biblical theology is theology that is applied. It is applied. It's not just knowing truth. It is the application of truth. John Stott said, Scripture is the chief means which God employs to bring the man of God to maturity. At all events, it is only by a diligent study of Scripture that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. As I look back over my own personal life, what I gained the most from, what really equipped me the most throughout life, is not just me spending time in Scripture, is when there was other men and other women who were around me that also pointed me to Scripture. Their encouragement was found in Scripture. Their words were found in Scripture. Just for example, the Ten Commandments memorized, that's not the fulfillment of the law. I know what I'm not supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. Like, go love your neighbor. Great, if you got it memorized, you didn't fulfill it. We're supposed to love our neighbor. To know that we are to love our neighbor, that is not the end goal. We are to love our neighbor, and we love them according to the truth that is found in the Word of God. The Lord set us apart for good works, and when He set us apart to be holy, He called us to walk with other children who have also been set apart. That's what makes a family according to church family. We are to gather together on the Lord's Day, and we worship Him as family. We read God's word, we pray, we sing, we sit under the preaching of God's word, we baptize, we partake of the Lord's Supper together. This is what family does. All this equipping begins in the word, and this equipping is maintained by abiding in the word. Except over a period of time, many times our minds become dull, our hearts become cold, and we struggle. Welcome to the Christian life. There's not a soul in this room who's saved who doesn't have that struggling, who doesn't suffer, who doesn't get into the Word of God, and they feel so far away from God. But our feelings do not justify how we are feeling. Theology, the Word of God, tells us God is not far from us. He is near. If you're saved, you have been possessed by the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. Our hearts are deceptive. They are wicked. We do not trust them. We go to the Word of God. Yes, if we've been saved by God's grace, we've been made a saint, but we are still going to struggle. We still struggle. All the equipping begins in the Word of God. Biblical theology is applied theology. The teaching of the church is to be the Word of God. Scripture is sufficient. Truth shapes the life of the redeemed soul. How we live and conduct our lives is to be based upon the Word of the Lord. Paul was writing to young Timothy in the church in Ephesus, knowing that his days were drawing to a close. Paul knew there were not going to be any more untimely born apostles. So he pointed Timothy and the church to the Holy Scriptures, declaring, "You have all you need for godliness. God's word is sufficient." I know many of you in this room beyond what I would call surface level. I know how some of you spend your hours throughout the week, and you know how I spend my hours throughout the week. We know some of the things that are going on in each other's lives. We get on our knees and we pray to God concerning the things in our life. God's word is sufficient. God's word is sufficient. I know intellectually we understand that. And for many of us, that has been beaten into our minds over a period of time, that God's word is sufficient. But I want us to all improve at applying that truth. That as soon as we struggle, we go to the word. As soon as we struggle, we start praying and we start asking the Lord. In fact, even if you're not struggling, you need to go to the word. Even if you're not struggling right now, you need to be praying. Praying without ceasing. The Word of God is our sufficient counsel. That's one thing that I see over and over and over again. When we think of it that way, God's Word is our counsel. Many people go to counseling for many different things, whether it's non-biblical counseling, which may or may not help, but biblical counseling that is set upon the Word of the Lord. Biblical counseling is just telling people what the Bible says. It's pointing people to the Lord. That God has spoken. He has preserved His word for us. It is profitable to equip us as His children. Even right now, in our present day, in our season that we're going through, each of us in this room, we have our own struggles. It's easy for us to come into this church and act like we have everything together. How are you doing? I'm doing good. How are you? I'm good. We all have our struggles. We're going through some type of spiritual season as His child. I encourage you, God's word is sufficient for whatever season you're in. He has given us words to know Him, to know how we are to live. The word of the Lord will equip us. It is sufficient for that. It is breathed out by God. So, my charge for myself today and my charge for all of you this morning is to abide in the Word of God, knowing that it is sufficient for our life. It is sufficient for godliness. And as brothers and sisters in Christ who know each other very well this morning, we know what some of us are going through. We know the hardships and the trials. Encourage one another with the Word of God. Father, I thank you for this morning. Your Word is sufficient. Lord, I ask for forgiveness when I know that your word is sufficient, but many times I have rebelled against that. Lord, forgive me. Help me to remember and to apply that every single word in your holy word is breathed out, and all of it is profitable. It is all profitable. It is all sufficient. Your word is powerful. It is what we need. Your word breathed out. You spoke this world, this creation into existence by the word of your power. Your word being read by a foolish man or woman can bring eternal life. Your word being read or taught equips us, rebukes us, it confronts our sin, it reveals the absolute truth to our lives when we're so stubborn and we don't want to hear it. Your word encourages us. It spurs us on. You have told us in your word that we do not live on bread alone, but on every word that has come out of your mouth. You told us in Psalm 1, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. That he's like a tree that's planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. And all that he does is prospers. But the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Lord, your word gives us light. It is a light to our feet. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father, it shows us what to do. It shows us how to live. It shows us what to say. It shows us how to be compassionate with other people. It tells us that love is patient and love is kind. Father, your word is enough. It is sufficient for all of our hardships, for all of our trials, for all that we are going through, because it is as if we are sitting at your feet hearing what you want to tell us. What a great gift we have in your holy word. Father, may we treasure you this week above all things by treasuring your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is our time of silence and reflection, that you would just spend time with the Lord. Whatever the Lord has led you to do through the preaching of his word this morning, you would respond with obedience. And if you have any questions about salvation, any question about the gospel, then feel free to talk to any man or woman who's here. Feel free to talk to me, that you would not leave this place not knowing that if you're not born again, we would love to sit down and share truth with you. Spend time meeting with the Lord. In a few minutes, we'll have our benediction together.